This is Mary Audrey. Stand up. Give her a clap.
Thank you. Wow. Boy, I don't know about you, you know, but I've been really, really convicted. This is the morning to get convicted. Anybody want to get convicted? Yeah. I've really been convicted about my lackadaisical attitude toward loving my city. Does anybody else, you know, kind of, you know, I've scribbled some notes down and thinking about it, but, you know, we all get so busy thinking about ourselves and the little sphere that we're in, you know, and our little family issues and, you know, just working at the church and just living a nice, normal life. And I really, and I was even scribbling down, you know, doing your part. Like, please, I'm not negating anything that's been done offering-wise here this morning. Please don't hear that. But, you know, I just realized this even as I was thinking about this and thinking, how have I got the nerve? I don't even know where I'm going here. How have I got the nerve to stand up and talk about loving our city, loving my city, Burlington, loving your city? Where are you from? Where's your city? We're not all Toronto. Loving our city and thinking, you know, how can I really have the gall to stand up and talk about serving in the city, because that's my title supposed to be, serving in the city, when I really don't think I've done much serving in the city? Oh, I don't know why I'm saying that, except I'm being prompted by the Holy Spirit to say it. And so, you know, I'm thinking about how have I served in the city. And so, well, you know, you can give a nice check at Christmas and Easter to certain organizations. Like, you know, I send a check to, you know, Covenant House, which I really love. I'm going to talk about that if I have a minute or two to do that this morning. And to different places, you know, that say, I'll help you out. Here's my check. But I wonder how many of us, we do that, but how many of us spend our life, not just spend our money, how many of us really spend our life on behalf of someone else? I was reading, I think it was in the National Post this week, about more people grieved, mourned, got bent out of shape. It was disastrous when Princess Diana died, and yet don't even know that their next door neighbor is dying of cancer. And I thought, oh my goodness. So for me, and I think for probably lots of us here in the room, this whole business of loving our city and serving our city and caring about it and all of the wonderful people that make up the city, if this is a wake-up call for us, and it's an interesting theme. Last year, the theme for the church was Love Compels. And that was great, but now we've taken it one step further. Love compels, but what does it look like? Because it's more than just words. What's it look like? And so, you know, Jeremiah 29, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've sent you. Pray to the Lord, for if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know, by the time the year's up, we're going to probably know that verse off by heart and know right where to find it. Because certainly for the last 3 weeks is what we've heard. Like, you know, I remember the first week in, I guess the first Sunday in January, Steve gave us an overview of that. And this morning I was hoping to play that video again because it is so, says it right to the point. And I think you can find it on What Can We Find the Love Your City video. On the website, the new website, www.catchthefire.com. Would you look it up? Because I'm not going to take the 10 minutes this morning I was going to take to play it again, because I know you all weren't here for that first Sunday. It is absolutely excellent, and it's so direct and so to the point that I hope that you'll be interested enough that you'll look it up. And then 2 weeks ago, Steve spoke on peace and prosperity. I think I've got a thing about five P's here today. I feel like Robert Schuller. Mrs. Robert Schuller, with alliteration, yeah. So Steve talked about peace and prosperity in the city, and it was great. But then, I mean, you were great, but then last week, Linda Dumpkin absolutely blew me away. I thought, why am I speaking? I said, you could just come up and do part two. If you were not here last week to hear Linda's absolutely challenging message on praying for the city, and quit the moaning and groaning and griping, even about the lousy driver that's in front of you that cut you off, even about somebody in the line, even about signs that you see on the street where we get more anointed for teeth sucking than we do for really praying. and pray and pray. And her testimony last week, it was a riot. It was, thank goodness it was slightly funny because it got you right where you live. So her CD or the DVD from last Sunday, I'm Praying for the City, was just a wow that would challenge anybody. You'd have to be so hard-headed, head in the sand if you wouldn't respond to that message of Linda. And so good old Practical Mother is here now. And what I wanted to do was paint a vision for you about the endless possibilities for you to serve. Endless possibilities for you to serve in the city. Endless. And we need to realize that as people of the kingdom, we're a different breed. And people of the kingdom, we're designed and called to make a difference in the society that we live in. And that is ever so much more than being nice people who go to church on Sunday. Because believe me, life is out there. We come together here for mutual upbuilding and sharing together and coming together as family and on. But the work of the ministry is out there. And let me tell you, I can't go into the teaching as I love to, but the word to serve also means to minister. And some of you are just longing and just being drawn to ministry. Oh, I just want to minister for the Lord. Great. Just like that lady that Sandra spoke about last week that met her at the door and said, oh, she collects shoes. And I'll bet you they're not old beat up shoes either. She collects shoes. I'm not sure if you're here, honey, if it was men's shoes, but she collects shoes and takes them to the shelter. She has a giving shoes away ministry. Ministry. Do you suppose that could be as anointed as laying the hands on the sick? Giving some poor old guy out on the street a pair of shoes? Oh my goodness. Anyway, I just realized that each one of us has a sphere of influence. We really do. Some of you have found it, and some of you are on your way, because sometimes it's kind of sneaky, and you don't know it till you find yourself in it. I listened again. I'd heard him before, but listening to Lance Wallnau at the pastor's conference, talking about the seven spheres, the seven mountains that we are called as believing Christians to move into and make a difference. What is it? I can never remember them right off. In the area of religion, in the area of family, arts and entertainment, media, government, education, have I done seven? And business. He made us kind of scared. He made me kind of scared. That's very poor grammar, isn't it? He made me really wonder because he was very blunt. And he said, if the Christians do not move in obedience to the Lord and in obedience to what's in their heart into the sphere of influence that God has for them, where God's kingdom is manifested in those particular seven, he calls them seven mountains, but seven spheres, very, very clearly there is another group with another agenda that is very quickly moving into each one of those spheres. And we sit back, and we moan and groan, and we read the newspapers and probably get wrong reports every time we do that. But what about having a heart to move into the sphere of influence that God's placed us in and being expectant to see the kingdom of God released there without apology? Without apology. And I wonder if we recognize that our lives have either a positive or a negative effect in whatever setting we find ourselves in. So Jesus gives us several pictures, a number of parables or metaphors, and he describes how he would like us to be. And I'm just looking at them from the message this morning. And actually, I realized it was even in the offering prayer, this whole business about being salt and light. So let me just read Matthew 5:13-16 from the message. And 13 says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness. And so I had a lot of fun thinking about all sorts of uses for salt, but mainly it's a seasoning. It gives flavor. It gives zest. It gives spice. Are you a person that gives flavor? Do you give flavor and zest and spice into where you live, into what you do? Isn't it exciting? Like, there's just so much that all dovetails together. I mean, this whole red thing. This whole red program is absolutely the most awesome salting of society. Oh my goodness. It's like Lowry, we got to get some new names, like Lowry Seasoned Salt, Holy Spirit Hot Sauce, And I don't even know. They've been seasoned. But you know what we bring them, what we give them tastes so good. Oh, it tastes so good. How many, probably older people, but you know, have been so put off and heard testimonies of being so put off by Christians, religious believers, because all they can do is talk, and criticize, and just kind of, you know, just kind of not be really salty people. I think we're designed as a congregation to be salty people. And as a preservative, too. But, you know, it needs to be inside something. It needs to be worked into something. I was just reading some stuff about salt and that. And it said, if it's left on the bare earth or exposed to the sun, rain, and air, it loses its savor and is worthless. And so I thought, wow, there's a difference between surface faith that has no flavor and having the seasoning of God worked and worked and worked into us as we're transformed and marinated by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have such things as encounter weekends. And here's one coming up next weekend. If you've not been on an encounter, please consider coming to it, because it's a place of starting to get the salt worked into us and soaking and learning about the Father's heart and healing and just restoration. And so we become salty people. A salty person. And then verse 14 carries on. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Who? If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And, you know, the more familiar rendition of that verse that we all know so well is, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Say after me, see my good works. They're going to have to see something. See something, not just yep, with Christianese all over the place. Have you noticed that spouting off Christianese really doesn't impress too many people? Usually turns them off. Oh, here she comes again. Here she comes again. But oh, when they begin to see your good works, wow. And they'll see them. As they're seeing them, it's just, it's amazing. And so we have natural good works, which we're talking about with loving our city, serving our city, caring for others, letting them know they're valued. But how about taking the next step? All you marvelous, revived, refreshed, Holy Spirit-filled people. You take the presence of the resurrected Christ everywhere with you where you go. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives in you. And because of that, he equips you with all of the supernatural abilities that are there to do the works of the kingdom. And these are the works that people are going to see that absolutely just, ugh. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The supernatural manifestations of the things of the Spirit. Releasing the prophetic word. Releasing healing. Getting words of knowledge about particular situations that absolutely said, you know, draws all of those supernatural abilities, and there's 9 of them. There's probably more that we just haven't discovered yet. But they're all designed to draw people to God, to catch their attention. Much more than just talking. Oh my goodness, we're called to be signs and wonders people. I had a friend who's with the Lord now, but she was just absolutely, well, she was French-Canadian, and all you French-Canadian people are a little bit wild anyway. But she was a hairdresser by profession. And she had a hairdressing business in her house, and people would come there. But I tell you, those women that were sitting with her at her laundry tub with their head back on some kind of a thing, and she's washing their hair under her breath, and she's laying hands on them, and she's pouring into them, and she's just pouring and pouring and pouring into them. And I think it was rather difficult at times when people were slain in the spirit with their head in the laundry tub. But, you know, listen, I would tell you, people would come out of the house absolutely zonked. What hit me? And then they would go back to her and say, what hit me? And she would lead them to the Lord week after week after week after week. You're a hairdresser. Oh, I'm just a hairdresser. I certainly couldn't be on the top of any mountain. Are you kidding? We need to add hairdressing onto that mountain. Onto that mountain. We have a man who used to be on our ministry team. I'm not quite sure where he is now and what part of the city he is. But he was a registered nurse. And for some reason or other, and I don't know, it just came to my mind last night about him. For some reason or other, he spent a season of time down in the Bay Street area in the financial towers and the business towers. And as they would be on those elevators, up, 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 he'd be on the elevator and somebody else would be on the elevator with him and he'd get a word of knowledge, just riding the elevator, not doing anything religious or spacing out or anything. He'd get a word of knowledge about so-and-so, about their condition in their back or a condition in their kidneys or whatever. And it was long before we learned, you know, excuse me, you have pain in your body. It was before that started, you know. And or he'd walk into a lawyer's office and he would get revelation as to, you know, what was going on in the man's life. And he used wisdom, but he spoke it. And people became absolutely drawn to God because of a manifestation of the things of the Spirit that poured forth from this man. And I'm quite sure in this congregation there's testimony after testimony all over the place. We are called to live responsibly and bring glory to God. Oh, for goodness sakes. And so, isn't it time to be truly interested in others? I sort of intimated this before. Beyond ourselves and beyond our issues of life, do we really know what's going on around us? Like, you know, when I'm writing this and thinking about it, I'm thinking, I wish I wasn't putting this down because, you see, I'm convicted about my own neighborhood. Because you just kind of like to, well, I just won't get involved there. You know, hi, you know, as you get out of the car, but not really wanting to reach in and touch a hurting heart. Boy, talk about getting convicted. This is a dreadful sermon. I'd much rather have talked about other things. Yeah. Or are we content to be insulated and isolated from the things that, from others that cry out for God's intervention? And we're so blind to it. I believe today he's going to take blinders off. I had written this down. The metaphors of salt and light indicate our influence for good as we penetrate secular society. One book that's absolutely caught my heart, it's a new one that's out just from 2010. We've had them in the Resource Center, and I'm sure they're getting more because I keep talking about it all the time and people want to get it. But it's from Heavy Rain by Chris Vallotton. I don't pronounce his name properly. And he's got this little bit called Secret Agent Man. Wow, look at this room. Secret Agent Man. Secret Agent Woman. Wow, here's what he says. We must shake off the shackles of denominational mindsets and truly love people regardless of their religious persuasions. This frees the Lord to commission an army of pure-hearted lovers who can display the raw power of God. Oh, what a room full of lovers. You say, who, me? Yep. Display the raw power of God and demonstrate the superior wisdom of another age without manipulation and exploitation. Then he can plant these warriors strategically in the darkest corners of society. Jesus described it like this. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Could it be at times that we're actually called? I had to read this twice to get what he was saying. Do you think at times we're actually called to be sheep in wolves' clothing? Don't get religious on me. God wants to knead us into society like leaven. We are his secret agents, disguised as doctors, housewives, mechanics, computer programmers, school teachers, and business managers. We are powerful believers, concealed as everyday people, strategically assigned to serve society while simultaneously destroying the works of the devil. Our very lives are a sign and wonder. Not only do we have the message, but we also are the message. Oh, you are the message. You are salt. You are light. Oh, no, no, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He says, huh, you're the light of the world. You are. You're light bearers. You're light carriers. You are light. You are. Not only do we have the message, but we are the message. And I believe it as manifestation of the supernatural power of God is so designed to draw people to Christ. Oh my goodness. So please look at, Jude, can I just have you come up, please? I would love you to watch the Love Our City video again, please. You know, they say, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. They say the average person has to hear something 7 times before it starts to sink in. And I think that's where we are. Now, there were several people that I was going to have share this morning, and I'm just going to have one at this particular point because Jude's been around. She's been out in the marketplace. She knows what's going on, and she's got just a couple of really fun things to share with you, and then we'll see how we'll pray with you into that one.
One. Okay. Two. One, two. Okay, first. All right. Mary Audrey asked me to. I'm kind of a little bit tuned into the city, just a little bit, as kind of a person in missions for the last 10 years. Anyways, a couple years ago, I was at a special prayer night at the People's Church. It was for the TTC Christian Fellowship.
The what?
It's the TTC Christian Fellowship. Okay? Did you guys hear that? Okay.
Do they know what TTC is?
Toronto Transit Commission. Who takes a bus? Okay.
All right.
Well, you know what? There's about 80 people amongst the 13,000 or so employees who call themselves believers and gather every single week in 7 or 8 locations around the city to pray. So they pray with such vigor because they see the TTC as very strategic. You know, the bus lines, the subways, and the streetcars really form a grid if you ever take a look and see how it goes around our city. And so they pray, and it's just an amazing thing. Anyways, back to the prayer meeting I was at. There was this guy by the name of Mike who was there, and Mike got up and did a testimony about how he came to Mission Fest, and he was really feeling not great about his faith. Anyways, he came to Mission Fest and he saw the booth for the TTC Christian Fellowship. He got hooked up with them, really got encouraged, and you know what? Now this guy treats his bus like a church. This is no kidding. He prays for everyone who comes on his bus, regardless of what religion they're from. They all know he's a Christian. He's very blatant about the whole thing. And he if people need scripture, he'll point them to the, you know, the Signs Bus Stop Bible Studies. They have, some of the buses have got that on there. He'll point that out to them. And this guy is doing amazing things because he'll say to people, do you want prayer? And he'll stop and pray for them right there if they do. And if they don't, he'll pray for them later. And he's had so many people come to Jesus on his bus. So, you know, be encouraged about what's happening with the TTC.
I just think it'd be fun. I said to Jude, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Let's have everybody stand up that uses the TTC. Employees we have. Anybody that uses a subway, a bus, a GO train, and that's not TTC, but GO trains will do too. Look at you all. Wow. Wow. Well, how about putting your hand on your own head, but those around you can reach out too. Look at these missionaries. Look at these servants. Look at these ministers, Lord, who travel on the TTC. And Father, I'd ask that you'd open their eyes, place just a huge release of courage in their heart. Courage, courage, not to be rude, not to be pushy, not to be presumptuous. Oh, Father, open their eyes, their spiritual eyes, that they will see needs around them, that they will have a salty word in season to bring life to those that travel with them. And that it no longer be a ho-hum, I'm going to go on the bus again this morning, but oh God, I can hardly wait to get, oh, I can hardly wait. Father, I ask for a hardly wait anointing to be released on your sons and daughters that are traveling the city. Yeah. Do you agree? Woo, what a mission field. Wow. And then one more that's really our heart here at the church.
You know, I was on the Toronto, City of Toronto website taking a look, and I found some stuff. It says, Toronto is Canada's largest city, the 6th largest government, and home to a diverse population of about 2.6 million people. It's the economic engine of Canada, and one of the greenest, most creative, according to the City of Toronto, cities in North America. Toronto has won numerous awards of innovation, and the government is dedicated to prosperity, opportunity, and helping the residents in the city. So my question comes back to why then, in 2009, were there over 5,000 people sleeping in the streets of our city? Why? Why is that? Did you know that 552,000 Toronto households live below the poverty level? Yeah. 250,000 Toronto households pay more than 30% of their income to rent. In fact, last week in the Globe and Mail, there was an article, and it was really interesting because it talked about 39% of the people living in the older high-rise buildings in Toronto, where they're pretty decrepit, the elevators aren't working right, and so on, they are all living under the poverty line. So I just know that there are things God wants to do in our city, but we have to be active and aware of who our neighbors are and what's going on in their lives. Anyways, tucked into a little corner in downtown Toronto is a place I'm sure pretty well everyone here knows about. It's called Followers Mission. Do you all know about Followers Mission? Yahoo. Anyways, it's right at the corner of Queen and Sherbourne. It's called Crack Corner, for those of you who are not aware of it. We've had 3 murders there in the last couple of years. It's a tough place. It really is. It's a hard place to be. In fact, you may not even know this, but there's a tattoo parlor around the corner on Queen Street, and their back room butts up against our kitchen, and they have an altar to Satan on that wall. Yes, they do. They used to, when I was there, they used to leave little effigies for me to pick up in the morning when I would get to the mission. But you know what? The Holy Spirit loves that place. Do you guys know that? Sue and Bill, you're nodding yes. I mean, every time worship starts there, Holy Spirit goes whoosh, just like that. In that place, it's unbelievable. It's probably the most anointed place. And yet, you know, it used to be a massage parlor. It did. And it was a secondhand store. And if you go way, way back, it was the stables long, long ago. Anyways, people get help there. They get food. They get clothes. They get a whole bunch of stuff. But mostly they get Jesus. Young Wah King, who is the fearless leader of that place since it started. You know Young. She is so key to bringing people to Jesus. Hundreds and hundreds, in fact, I'd say thousands of people have come to Jesus because of Followers Mission in our city. And I just want to let you know about this because Jesus is the answer. Yes, we need to help people. Yes, we need to give them food and clothes, and we need to love on them and pray for them and everything. But we got to say, do you know Jesus? Repeat after me. Do you know Jesus? Get it in your brain and start using it. Will you please? Drives me nuts. 95% of Christians never say those words in public. Did you know that? They do not. Evangelicals are the worst. Sorry. We're a little better. We are. Anyways, the first 2 years of my missionary life were spent at Followers Mission. And I have to tell you that when you give to the poor, when you give your time, your resources, your money, God will bless your socks off. He really will, because you are giving to Him. Do you get it? You're giving to Him, and He loves the poor. In fact, our School of Ministry guys, you guys have been to Followers, right? Do you not love it? How many years have the kids been going down there now? What, 5, 6 years, something like that? They go every Tuesday when they're in season. And, you know, sometimes they'll take the bus 2 hours to get there and 2 hours to get back in the cold. You're nodding, Linda. Were you one of them at one point? Yes. And you know, they're a little apprehensive at first because it is a tough thing. But, you know, they get into the program. Our volunteers work with the kids, and they develop a heart for the poor. And I want to encourage you today, develop a heart for the poor. Don't frown on people just because, you know, some of those people on the streets have good educations. It's just they've hooked into addiction somewhere and they've spiraled down. Just love on them, love on them, love on them. And remember Followers Mission, will you please? If you have time, there's never enough volunteers to make the mission work. You know that? There never is. There's never enough money to pay the bills there. Like, no one really gets paid there, do they, Steve? You're on the board. Nobody does. It just needs our help. So think of Followers Mission when you think of the city. Give your time, give your money, and make it click, okay? God bless.
Yeah, Bill and Sue, you go down, what, every Tuesday? Or once a month at least. Once a month they go down. There's Garth and Mary go down.
Yep.
Scott and Hilary Dalton. Would you stand up, the four of you? Because I want you to look at opportunities. You want to find out what they do, where they go, how you can hook up, how you can find a way down there, where on earth you park. There's places, I understand. That talk to them. Where's Bruce? Where's my friend Big Bruce? See, that's Bruce Smith. Bruce, along with Ken, Bruce, they head up what's called the King Bay or the Bay King Chaplaincy. And they are you open for volunteers? Absolutely. I was going to have Bruce up here this morning, but you knew you'd get a 3/4 hour evangelical preach, and we didn't. Yeah, but you saw Bruce stand up, and you know, he'd say, please, please, those of you that, you know, are hearing the voice of God and are able to move in the things of the Spirit, there's a whole area down there that needs you to minister there. Just ask him. Just ask him. I think of the Open Door here in Mississauga. I was talking to a friend that works there, you know, fairly frequently, and they are open for absolutely anything that's good, like not old crummy clothes, but clothes that are older but not crummy, if you know what I mean. And any kind of food item and any kind of household item. Open Door right there at Square One in Mississauga. I was looking at our marvelous website. Could you put up that address again? Or not again yet? Where that screen isn't working, is it? Where is it? Anyway, it's the www.loveourcity.ca. Yeah, just look that. Well, it blew me away when I looked at that the other day. And there listed are 3 pages full of places where you can serve, where you can do things. There's something like 4 or 5 food banks. And I'm not talking about the Mississauga area now. There's all sorts of interesting things. Do it yourself. Like how about giving somebody the gift of a clean car? Family dinners, offering to help with whatever in your neighborhood, helping a neighbor with an outdoor project. I can remember when I first met Patricia King, and she and her husband were in a small community out in British Columbia, and they got a really great youth group at the church they were part of, and they began a whole neighborhood project of they would arrive at somebody's door. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't even knock. They'd just get the lawnmower out and start cutting the grass. And they had their cleaning supplies and their mops, and they'd go and wash people's windows for them. Not for any money, but just to express the love of God. In Burlington, and they may have it here, but in Burlington, we had the Snow Angels. We ever loved the Snow Angels this year. And on a street where Belma Vardy lives, there's several seniors there, and the Snow Angels arrive after school. They see the driveways that are full and the doorsteps that are full. They're there with their shovels. Snow Angels arrive on the scene and clean up the street. Oh, my goodness, you don't need to have 3 to 10, you know, three-dimensional technicolor visions to do something like that. Or, you know, 16 prophetic words to oop you going. In fact, you might even get a prophetic word while you're shoveling. Wouldn't that be absolutely amazing? That would be absolutely amazing. There is so much. I looked up on, I'm talking fast. I looked up on the internet yesterday at Covenant House. I just love that whole, does anybody know about Covenant House? Awesome ministry in Toronto for the poor kids that are have had to leave home for one reason or other, probably out of rebellion, probably out of drugs. Some of them have been kicked out. But here's Covenant House reaching out to these kids, and they have a whole volunteer program. That when I was looking at this, I thought, oh my goodness, I know there's people in this congregation that would be a total blessing to Covenant House, working directly with the youth, doing recreational activities, teaching them life skills, tutoring, translating, relationship building, administrative support, and special events, and so forth. And that's just www.covenanthouse.ca. And it's right there for you. See, it's not a big deal to find places all over our city where we can serve. Wow. Wow. It could go on and on and on. I found it was never. Do you remember that marvelous commercial that was shown a lot at Christmas? It had to do, isn't amazing, it was the essence of it that I loved, and I can't even remember the product, but it was a chocolate. I don't know if they were Toblerone or what, but do you remember the little gal in the apartment building, and she'd peek outside the door into the hallway, and she'd look at all the rooms and the apartments on either side of her down the hall, and she, wasn't that neat? And she had a wrapped box of chocolates that when everybody had gone to bed, she just snuck along, and she put a present in front of each door, and then it showed, you know, and some elderly people and some other ones opening up the door maybe to get their paper out and open it in the morning. And here's this beautifully wrapped little present from this little gal who found a way to minister. And she probably, I don't know, I mean, I'm just making this up now, but you know, she could have got everything she needed at the dollar store. It didn't break the bank to reach out. And boy, when I saw that, I thought, here I am sitting here in my nice little warm house, and I have a neighborhood either side of me. Oh, I know, it was after the fact. It was after Christmas, I clued, and I thought, gee, why couldn't have I done something like that for, you know, 10 houses across and 10 houses on either side? The utter level of selfishness. Oh, spirit-filled woman. The utter level of selfishness You know, it's absolutely amazing when we start to recognize it. Now the question is, as Linda said last week, how are we going to put all this marvelous faith we have into action? Okay, into action right in our own city. So what I would like, oh, and then I realize I've got some of my cell gal. What are we doing as cells? You know, I bet we've got umpteen cells represented here, cell leaders in here this morning. What project is your cell doing? What project are we going to do? Girls, we'll talk about it Thursday. What neat project could a cell do that would absolutely impact the area that we live in? So think about it. I'll get a message. This will save me a phone call. Think about it, gals, and bring it on Thursday. That's something we could do as a cell. So I just kind of challenge all the rest of you cell leaders that are in here this morning. Start coming up with some ideas with your cell and then putting our faith into action in simple ways. I'd like you to stand, please, just for a few minutes. Could I have the worship team come back? And I would like you to just do a miracle and turn into about fours for a couple of minutes, just for a couple of minutes. And I would like you to pray and pray with one another and release vision. What could you do? What could you do? And you know what? I think some of you already know where your sphere of influence it is. You may think it's very small, but where's your sphere of influence? Where do you have opportunity to be salt? And Father, I'm asking, you know, that you would release and every man and woman in this room right now a download of salt and light into them, that they will just not clutch it for themselves, but that they will be ones who will release it. They're ones who will release it. I'll just give you a couple of minutes to receive that salt and light, and then I'm going to get you to do one more thing. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the salty ones. Thank you for the shining ones. Father, would you come and would you fill us again this morning with your Spirit? Fill us to overflowing. Fill us. Yes. Not for our own gratification, but that we might begin to flow and pour out the life that you've placed within us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay. Yeah. Whoa. How about coming into agreement in your group that you're available? Declare your availability to move where God would have you move. Declare to one another your availability. And may I call you to repent from totally self-centered interests. Yes. Whoa. Shabalasi. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now just holding on to one another in unity. I'm going to ask you to just look at me for a minute, please. I know some of you are really getting into this. You can carry on, but there's one more thing I want to do. And I want it to be such an impact as you're in your groups. Here I've been talking about us being designed by God to be salt and light. Literally carriers of His light. Could it be that in that group that you're in, there is somebody who knows all the words, but they have not really had a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's no accident you're in that group right now this morning. For Jesus Himself is wanting to have such an impact within your heart, within your spirit, that you may know His life for yourself, and then out of that we'll pour what's needed. Not being good works people, not being performance people, but people who come to absolutely an awareness of an encounter with the living God who loves them absolutely, totally, and gave His life for you. In your groups, look at one another and say, Do you know the living Christ within you? Ask. Ask. And if there's anyone in your group that would say, well, I don't know for sure, then you could come up, you could bring them up here because we want to pray with them. We don't want anyone to go this morning without having an encounter with the one who gives you the salt and light that you need to have. Okay? It's okay. Okay, have you looked around? If you looked around, is there anyone that you would walk up here with so they can be introduced to the Lord? I'm just asking back, that far back side by the bookstore, if there's anyone back there that does not have a living relationship with the God of the universe that created them. Now's time. Is there anybody in this section over here by the ark that really needs to know how much they're loved by God? Is there anyone here this morning that is so terribly, terribly, terribly lonely? Terribly lonely. And you haven't yet met the one that loves you totally and will. If there's anybody that we can pray with this morning, just ask you to come on up. Let's do that. Let's do that. Good. Just come on right up here. Jude, you want to go down with them? Hi. Is there anyone else? We've got some special ones that are just longing for a new life, a new way, a new day. Okay, Teresa, you coming up, honey? With them? Here comes someone. Yes. Yep. Wonderful. Linda, do you want to just come and bless them? There. Yeah. Okay. We just send the rest of you on your way with His blessing stirred inside with a determination that's released by the Spirit of God. To be salt and light in that sphere of influence that God has you in. And be blessed as you go. In Jesus' name.